With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Welcome to the Jill on Money Coronavirus Market Update. It is Wednesday, July 8th, and it is really startling to say that date, Wednesday, July 8th. It's strange to be in July already, and with half the year down, we've got just under 6 months left in this year. I want to make sure you stay on track to reach your financial goals. So I would encourage you to check out the website, jillonmoney.com. I have a blog post up there about what you need to do for the second half of the year. And while you're on the website at jillonmoney.com, don't forget to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. And if something tickles you from that newsletter, feel free to just send us an email anytime. Either contact us through the website, jillonmoney.com, or send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Let's get to your questions. Okay, here's a note from Joe. I'm 64 and recently diagnosed with breast cancer. Oh, I'm so sorry. Terrible. As of right now, I am not collecting Social Security. I was hoping to wait until my full retirement age, or even age 70. I'm married and my husband is currently working. I retired 2 years ago after 40 years as a nurse. I do receive an annuity payment every month from the state retirement system. We're more than fine without my Social Security. Should I just pull the trigger and apply for Social Security or continue as is? Okay, you're a nurse, so you probably know the extent of your diagnosis. And I'm hopeful that this is a low stage cancer and that maybe this is a terrible bump in your road, but that you will continue to be healthy. I would not actually file for your Social Security just yet. I do think that you will need to make a decision if things turn out to be more critical than anticipated. But let's put it on hold for a second.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dan writes, I like your podcast, but it seems like a lot of the questions you answer are from the very wealthy. I wish you would focus more on questions from people with limited wealth and income. Well, Dan, I do. Send me an email. Maybe that someone is you. We just answered a question from somebody who has 30 grand a year in income. So we bounce around a lot. So if you have a financial question, just ask us and we'll be happy to do that. Okay, let's see. This is from somebody, I don't know who writes, I was listening to your pod the other day, and as a new Match.com subscriber, I was thinking, hey, Jill seems to have a lot of financially stable, possibly eligible bachelors emailing her. Maybe you could do another pod matching up your listeners. I love this, hysterical. Just a thought purely based on my self-interest. Anyway, thought you'd get a kick out of this idea. Happy Financial Independence Day. Hey, by the way, Mark and I have often thought about that, that we would love to be able to match people up. It'll be a whole side hustle. Mark, look into that, will you? Okay. Christine writes, thanks for always starting my day out right. I listen to you every morning while walking my dog. Hey, Mark, you notice the dog people? They love me. I love the dog people right back. Send photos of your dogs. Here's my question. I just refinanced my mortgage for the fourth time since I bought 12 years ago. My monthly payment went down by $370 a month. Wow. My plan had been to pay the same amount I've been paying so I can reduce the amount of time to pay it off. I'm 46 and I'm single, and the idea of paying that mortgage until I'm 76 seems crazy. The outstanding mortgage balance is $450,000. The house is worth over $700,000. I like the house and the neighborhood, and I do plan to stay here. But there's a little voice in the back of my head, maybe it's yours, saying, don't pay off the mortgage. You can get a better return on that money by investing. Here are my details. I make about $175,000 a year gross, no other debt than the mortgage. In retirement, I'll have access to a decent federal government pension. I currently have $609,000 in my thrift savings plan, conventional 401k. I did a backdoor Roth this year. I've got $4,000 in that account, and I would like to continue contributing to that every year going forward. I had been maxing out my TSP for the past several years, but cut it last year to get to the 5% match, and I did that in order to build up my emergency fund. I now add $1,000 a month to the emergency fund, and it now totals $13,000. That represents 3 months. I'll definitely have a job change at the beginning of next year. I think the options here for the newfound cash are bump up the emergency fund contributions by $370 a month until I get 6 months in the bank. Increase my 401k contribution, pay the same mortgage payment under the previous mortgage. Appreciate your thoughts on the optimal way to handle this fortunate situation. Piper the dog says, hi, we both thank you for a calming influence in a crazy world. So there is a photo here. Mark, maybe we've got to start like a photo gallery for everyone's dogs. Don't be sending me your cats. I'm not a cat person. I have serious allergies, only dogs. Let's get back to this question. Yes, bump up the emergency fund contributions by $370 a month, and then do that until you have your 6 months of cash in the bank, and maybe do 9 months. Once that's done, yeah, increase the 401k contribution. And when you're maxing out your 401k and you've got your emergency reserve fund, then I encourage you then, if you want, to pay down the mortgage. I think your first two inclinations are the right ones. Thanks so much for writing.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
Paul writes that about my article in the Chicago Tribune, which was about the necessity of emergency reserve funds. So perfect for this dovetail to the previous question. How much of my IRA mutual funds at Vanguard is insured, if any? Should I be concerned if the amount is above a specified threshold? No, I don't think you should be concerned. When you have an account with an investment firm, you are protected by Securities Investor Protection Corporation, or SIPC, and it protects up to $250,000 in a money market or a cash equivalent, another $250,000 in securities. But the reality is, this is against Vanguard's failure. And I do not believe you have much to worry about, you know, in terms of Vanguard. They are not going to fail. Okay, one last one about emergency savings. So the question is about 6 to 1 year of living expenses saved and retirees having 1 to 2 years saved. This is from Diane. She says, I've heard that before, but my question is, workers may only collect unemployment a certain amount of time and a new job is not guaranteed. And retirees, on the other hand, they're guaranteed Social Security payments and any pensions they may get. So you'd think that workers would need to have more saved than retirees. Retirees may have small income from these sources, but it's guaranteed. Please explain. Okay, the explanation is pretty simple. You just don't have any other income coming in. And for most people, even if you're on unemployment as a worker, that's a temporary situation. I should also point out that, of course, one of the big issues if you're a retiree is that a healthcare cost could become pretty exorbitant. So that's the explanation of the rule of thumb. Okay, it's midweek. You've gotten through your hump. Congratulations. Isn't that nice? Remember that no matter what, as we go through the pandemic together, that we are here for you. Mark and I are here for you. All you need to do is, if you have a financial question, get in touch with us. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. And always feel free to hop onto the website, jillonmoney.com. And we've got a contact button that's right there. So until we talk again tomorrow, don't forget to wash your hands, wear your masks, maintain that physical distancing, and please try to lift someone's spirits today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.